Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Tom Collins. We have Keith Melrose on the line as well as James Ryan from Paddy Power. And we're looking ahead to a blockbuster weekend of action. Saturday, ITV4 are covering the racing at Newbury and the first race they showcase is the 150. It's the Denford Stakes, a listed race formerly known as the Washington Singer. Can we get some betting on this one, James, please? Because we've got some good form represented.
Yeah, Juan Elcano is our even money favourite, followed by Sun Power 3-1, Thunderous 5-1, Pile Driver 8-1, Frankel Storm 10-1, and 16-1 bar.
Thank you very much, Tom. Juan Elcano, second in the superlative. Form Feta, that's not really worked out.
Yeah, I don't think it's the best piece of form. Richard Hannon obviously had trained the winner that day, has a decent hand on how strong that form was. And I think his Sun Power is a decent bet to overturn this short price favourite. He's a standout performer for first season side, Knight of Thunder, so far anyway. There's plenty of stamina on the downside as well, so he's going to get further than this 7 furlong trip in time. He doesn't mind giving the ground. I'm not sure what the ground's going to be. It's supposed to be raining today, but I'm not tomorrow I think it's going to be dry, so I'm not too sure what the ground's going to end up being. But Sun Power's fine with give, fine on fast ground, so that's not a worry. Solid piece of form last time out when he showed a really nice turn of foot to hit the front, scoot two lengths clear, only to then hang left under pressure and got caught. The previous fourth in the Chesham was very good form as well, with Pinatuba obviously won the race. Lope Fernandez was second, very good horse, Fred O'Brien. Highland Chief was third. There's plenty of winners in behind as well. So I think Sun Power holds strong claims to win this race. Got the best form in the book. The ground's not a problem. And I think Richard Hannon can win the race again.
Yeah, that was a second in the listed Pat Eddery Stakes last time out at Ascot. Keith, what do you think of the juveniles in this?
I sort of take the opposite view to Tom, really. I really like Juan Elcano. I liked his debut an awful lot. I mean, the form of that has worked out pretty well. He was green as grass and basically came miles clear with Subjectivist, who made the form look pretty good subsequently. The fact that it was on heavy ground is another sort of positive here, because I'd be fairly confident it's going to be testing tomorrow at Newbury. The track's not maybe draining as well as it has there, so with the rain that's forecast, I'd be assuming soft ground, even though it's going to be dry tomorrow. So the fact he's shown it on Haydock heavy, real positive. And as much as I wouldn't be keen to take, even, you know, there's so many once race maiden winners and horses with loads of potential in this race, that I wouldn't be in a mad rush to take even money about a horse in a race like this. Juan Elcano still looked green to me at Newmarket last time, still got improvement to come, and with that sort of level of form behind them already, I find them very hard to crab.
Yeah, fair enough. You mentioned there some of the unexposed horses. I'm quite interested in Pile Driver, but obviously the two form horses we've talked about so far. James, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Keith here as well, Elcano. Just the fact they did that on heavy ground first time out, and like he's the most beautiful moving horse. Like he's real athleticism, and he started looking in a little bit through greenness behind Mr. Power the last day, even though the form of that obviously hasn't worked out great, but I think he can still take a big step forward. I think Sun Power actually, you know, probably needs to improve 6 or 7 pounds really to get to him. I don't think he'll be able to do that on the soft ground tomorrow. I think he'll be tough to beat.
Okay, strong words there then. Something that we have to bear in mind with the ground then. Maybe it's going to be quite testing. Moving on to the 225, it's the Unibet Jeffrey Freer Stakes, a Group 3 over that 1 mile, 5.5 furlongs. And Mirando, again, very much a form horse who's been campaigned at quite a high level this season, James.
Yeah, he has indeed. And he's our 11-10 favourite, Maddie, followed by Sexton 4-1, Technician 5-1, Durston 11-2, Samim 13-2. It'll probably be pretty hard to beat here. Given the ground, I think it could be soft, if not on the softer heavy side, with the amount of rain they're going to get today. And he just seems like a completely different horse in that type of ground. Sexton's been running on quick ground. Technician probably needs a bit of a cut, but it's probably below this level. Obviously, it's the £3 penalty Miranda does, but I think it'll be very tough to beat as well.
Yeah, okay. Keith, again, it's a case of form horse versus sort of promising up-and-comers. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, you're right with that assessment. Miranda on this sort of ground is a really real proven group horse really among them, and that being the case, I wouldn't be mad keen to be against him. The one I would sort of mention, if you can bet maybe place only or without the favourite, Durston's another horse that seems a very different on ground like this and has been improving really, really quickly in handicaps through the season. At Goodwood last time, he ran into Sir Ron Priestley, and I think in, under different circumstances, it might even have got to him that day. He's got a lot to find on the figures, and frankly, I'd be hoping for a bit better than 11-2, but I suspected before I heard that he might have been a horse that was slightly underestimated in terms of finishing best of the rest.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm a real big fan of it, that handicap form, the second, as he said, to Sir Ron Priestley last time. I thought that was a strong race, but he has got to step up here. What do you think, TT?
Yeah, I think it's just Miranda's race to win. Like the lads are saying, he's a group horse against a load of handicappers. Stays well, ground's not a problem, track's not a problem, because he dead-heated in the Group 3 St Simon Stakes here last season. He's found life tough, obviously, this campaign behind Defoe and enabling Group 1 company.
Good fourth in the Hardwick.
Yeah, very good fourth in the Hardwick. I think anywhere near that run, we'll see him come out on top. And like Keith said, I think Durston is the one if you're looking to oppose the favourite or bet without the favourite.
Okay, nice and straightforward then. The 3 o'clock is the Unibet handicap over 7 furlongs. And some really interesting types here, as well as horses that we know well, such as Rip Off. Run us through the prices, James.
Yeah, Breath of Air is our 3-1 favourite, followed by Rip Off 7-2, George William 4-1, Graphite Storm 5-1, Piece of History 7-1, it's 10-1 bar.
Okay, Keith, how are you approaching this race?
I had a look at it and I wasn't entirely sure there was a lot of pace in it. Did anybody have a look at that?
Yeah, I couldn't find much.
I couldn't find much that was going to make it, and that was sort of what got me around a little bit to looking at Love Dreams. It's one of the bigger prices. I mean, you can make a case for just about every horse in this field. The Love Dreams has always been a really well-regarded horse from the Johnston Yards. He is best when he gets, obviously, like any of these horses, he's best when he gets off and gets that uncontested lead, which there's just an outside chance he might get here. His form on soft is pretty handy, so he can certainly act upon it. And he's on a mark that he's won off in the past. In fact, he's won off quite a bit higher. So in a race where you could probably stick your pin in and have a chance with any of them, a horse that's as well handicapped as him, with a potential pace angle at 11-1, I thought was as good as anything.
Yeah, very much like the sound of that. James, are you in agreement?
I like that Love Dreams kind of angle, and I saw he was kind of looks to be the only pace in the race, but I think the horse drawn beside him, Sanad, definitely not pronouncing that right, under Spencer. I thought he ran a lot better than his finishing position in the Bunbury Cup. He got really checked at a crucial point when he's coming into the final furlong. When you go back and look at that Kempton run, which is alongside Love Dreams, earlier on in the year, they ran a really quick time that day. So I still think the two of them could have a few pounds in hand. And Sanad's actually getting an extra pound off Love Dreams than he was that day when he beat him. So I just think he could get a lovely toe into the race behind Love Dreams. And I think they could be the two kind of key horses in the race.
Okay, so potential for an upset then, based on what we've heard so far. What do you think? Breath of Air, no one's mentioned him the favourite. What are his credentials?
He's always really eye-catching. He always runs on strongly towards the end of the race, and people put him in their notebooks for next time. But I just think he's quite a disappointing horse. He doesn't seem to put it all together when he should do. Mm. I think he's well worth taking on in this. I also think Rip-Off's well worth taking on. I'm not sure about the track for him. And George William hasn't won since October 2017, so they're the top three in the market. I think all three can easily be beaten. It's not really a race that I'd be rushing to have a bet in, but if I was, then I'd back Graphite Storm each way. This is highly likely to have been his target. He's finished second and third in this race for the last two seasons. Goes really well at the track. He's won on good to soft here as well, so the ground shouldn't be a problem. He was beaten by Squats both times the last 2 years. I love Squats. He was targeting this race as well, and Haggis had him spot on both times. Graphite Storm ran off marks of 89 and 87 when placed in this race. Runs off 86 here. He's in fine form at the moment. Won well last time out, drawing clear with an informed rival. I think he's an each way bet to nothing.
Yeah, okay. Strong case made then for Graphite Storm, who's sure to like the ground. The feature at Newbury is the 3:35. It's the Unibet Hungerford Stakes, a Group 2. And some really good form on offer here with Safe Voyage, his third in the Minstrel Stakes last time. It's worked out really well. Obviously, Romanize boosting that in the Jacques Lemarois last time. He should be another who will be at home on this ground. James, is he a strong favourite?
He is indeed. He's our 2-1 favourite, followed by Sir Dancelot at 130. Hageman 7-2, Glorious Journey 8-1, Space Traveller 10-1, 12-1 bar.
Thank you very much. And you say you back Sir Dancelot every time he runs. I mean, he won the Lennox and then this last year. Why can't he do it again?
Yeah, exactly. I backed him in the Lennox last time out when he won really impressively under Mosse. I say Voyager's the horse. If it turns heavy, if the ground is heavy, say Voyager's the one, isn't he? He's proven on heavy ground. So Dancelot doesn't really need heavy ground. He prefers it a little bit quicker.
Maybe as he's getting older, he can handle it a bit better,
yeah,
can't he?
He does handle Give. It's just heavy, I'm not sure about. If it's bottomless, he might struggle. But David Ellsworth's had a tough season. He's only had two winners, I think, since January. One of them was Sir Dancelot last time out in the Lennox. The Lennox and this, they've been his two targets. He's primed for this race. I back him every time. I'm going to back him again. I think he's the one, but I'm going to keep an eye on the ground.
Okay. And Keith, can you see anything else getting into this? I thought, you know, we've got the likes of Labrita Breeze. He's reappearing from a really big absence, and Flaming Spear again behind Sir Dancelot last time, two Tony Bloom's horses.
Yeah, you've sort of. I was going to mention another one at a slightly sort of bigger price, but none of those two really. I mean, we've been doing a bit of a conflab with Total Performance Data about this, looking at the stride patterns of these horses. And the most interesting thing they came up with is that Glorious Journey has basically been a 6-7 furlong horse all along and really runs like one. And the testing ground you're likely to get tomorrow, I wonder if maybe they won't go as fast as they did at Goodwood. And you might get a bit of a test of speed, which, according to all that sort of stuff, would really suit Glorious Journey, who's probably more of a sprinter than the other two. Sir Dancelot strides like a miler, it turns out. But his record of himself at a mile doesn't look that good. Mostly it's been in group ones. So it could depend on how much of a test of stamina or how strong a pace it really is. If they don't really go that quick, if they're tentative in the testing ground, I'd give Glorious Journey a chance.
Okay, and sorry, James, just to clarify, Safe Voyage for you?
It's Hey Get Man for me here. I think just the price discrepancy between the two at the moment. So Safe Voyage is 2-1, Hey Get Man is 7-2, and Hey Get Man fairly had him in the Minstrel Stakes the last day when he was still a length or two ahead of him. So I just think that price is a bit different. And obviously they're priced like that because of the ground. Hageman doesn't have too much form on, you know, soft/heavy ground. But I think he could get an easy enough lead. And if Dujon Triumphant doesn't go too mad in front, he can get a nice toe into the race. So I just think he, at the price there, the difference between him and Safe Voyage, he's the one that'll go for.
Okay, some interesting difference of opinion there. As always, the prices that we've mentioned, you can access them through our app, so no need to leave it if you're wanting to place a bet. We'll take a quick break now, but we'll be back in a moment.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, so we'll resume looking ahead then to tomorrow. And our next port of call is Ripon, where there is the Great St Wilfrid, of course. The 205 is the race on ITV4, the first from that track to kick us off. It's the William Hill Silver Trophy Handicap, the consolation race for the big one. Again, over 6 furlongs. And a favourite here, Alardel, who was unlucky last time, James.
Yeah, he was indeed. And we're 5 places in this race as well. And Aladdin is our 8-1 favourite. Hyperfocus is 9-1. Growl 9-1. Royal Prospect 11s. Then there's a heap of them on 12. So then 14-1 bar.
Yeah, I found this really interesting. 5 of the last 7 winners have all come from double figure draws. Alardel drawn in 4. That could be a bit of a negative for him. Keith, tactically, you were speaking before we went on air about how to sort of approach Ripon as a track.
Yeah, Ripon is. It's, if you've ever been, it's it's like a links fairway, a golf course. It's all little humps and hollows, and that's the sort of theory behind why it's such a good front runner's track, certainly on the round course, because making up ground and having that rhythm to make up ground while the ground's going up and down like that is probably far from ideal, and that's where the theory comes from. In this race, I think again at Ripon, we're going to be looking at quite testing ground again. I'm not too far from there, and it's been raining steadily all day and forecast to get quite a bit heavier. So I'd be allowing for soft ground here, and that's what sort of brought me on to the Stuart Williams ostensible second string, Tony Port. His record in soft ground is really quite good. He won in Windsor in soft in June. He's only been with the yard for 4 starts this season, and you could argue there's been excuses for all of the other 3. A big field soft ground handicap could be just what he needs, so he's the one I'd be taking a chance on in an obviously open race.
Okay, James, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a really open race. Found it quite tough, but I ended up going for Growl. Thought he had a good high draw, and thought he ran a really promising race in the Stewards' Cup. You know, was there at the furlong pole, like he was still in line with the leaders, and then just got a little bit tired later on. Handicapper, I thought, was being very kind to him, dropping 3 pounds. And, you know, Tony Hamilton's on him, who obviously won this race in 2012, and El Viento for Richard Fahey as well. So he'd be the one that I'd be going for those 5 places with anyway.
Yeah, he always used to sucker me and growl. He'd got that sort of group one, group form, and then went down in the handicap, but I'm not sure about in these days. What do you think?
No, I'm with James. I like Growl. He's an eight-year-old now, but he's still well capable on his day. Finished ninth in the Great St Wilfrid 2 years ago when favourite for the race. That was off a mark of 109. Finished third last year off a mark of 99, and he's back this year off a mark of 89. So he's £10 lower. He loves ripping. The last time he ran here, he's only run here once since finishing third in the race last year, and he was beaten just half a length, albeit in fourth. That was off a mark of 92, so he's £3 lower here. I think he's got a nice draw and a show clear promise, as James said in the Stewards' Cup last time. And just if there's one on the other side of the track, because you always have to, in these big field races, I always play one just in case on the other side of the track, although I do think the high draws will dominate. Flying Pursuit is the one, I think, ran really poorly last time, so you've got to put a line through that if you're going to give him any chance whatsoever. But if he gets to the front, he's a real danger here. He loves the track and could go well for Tim Easterby.
Okay, Growl, as you mentioned, your selection, and James is really classy horse back in the day. We'll move on to the big one then at 3:15. It's the William Hill Great St Wilfrid, again over the 6 furlongs. Talk us through your market, James.
Yeah, so we're 6 places here in this race, and we're 8-1 the field, and Summer Gand is our 8-1 favourite. Dakota Gold, 8-1. Richenza, 9-1. Lake Falta, 10s. Lahore, 10s. Gunmetal, 12s. Gulliver, 12s. And Mazika, 12s. And 14-1 bar.
Thanks very much, James. Now, I must admit, picking out winners of sprint handicaps does send a bit of a shiver up my spine. So I'm very happy to get all the help I can get here. What do you think?
Well, it's a tough race, isn't it? Saying that, I really fancy one. I really fancy Philip Makin's Lahore. Philip Makin's had a fantastic start to his training career with horses. He's bought horses from other yards. And he's doing really well with them. And this Lahore one, started his career with Roger Berry, won his first 2 starts, won 3 of his first 5, in fact. And he looked a really useful prospect and then just kind of went downhill, went under the radar, wasn't winning races, found himself really well handicapped. Bounced back to form on just his second on his penultimate start for Philip Makin, his 4th run for the yard. And he was really unlucky that day. He was travelling really nicely in behind at Redcar, and then a horse in front of him broke down and was unfortunately fatally injured, but cost him the race because he was fast finishing line, was only beaten about a length. Made amends last time out at this track, travelled extremely well again. He's going to travel well. He always travels well. The thing is, what's he going to find off the bridle? Last time he found a load, cleared away from the field and hung on pretty takingly at the line. He's only £3 higher here. Nice draw. Lahore for me.
Yeah, nice and straightforward then. Keith, I quite like Richenza, who was 3rd in the Cathedral Stakes at Salisbury last time. I thought that was an eye-catching run. How do you rate her chances? Am I onto anything here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's got that liking for the likely testing conditions, and you know the form at Goodwood is pretty taking as well. With Beat Puds, who's really a specialist round there, and having form undulating tracks might play better at ripping than would first meet the eye. So yeah, I mean, I can absolutely sort of see that angle, and she's presumably going the right way.
You're very kind there.
Well, the thing is that this race, that's just an example. You could pick out any of these and give a chance to a lot of them. The one I'm going to give another chance to after the Stewards' Cup is Lake Volta. He was a real anti-post plunge for that race and didn't really work out for him that day, but if you look at his form going back, his 2 best runs, the 2-year-old, were both at Ripon. He's got a lot of form on soft ground. I think 3 of his 4 runs have been among his best that he's been when he's run on soft, although it's been quite rare. So on the sly, he's probably got a lot going for him under these conditions. And think that maybe the Stewards Cup run, if you can forgive that quickly enough, he should be right up there with the favourites here.
Yeah, indeed. As you mentioned there, he was absolutely punted off the boards, wasn't he, Mark Johnston? Unsurprisingly so. And James, finally, you're fancying the Great St Wilfrid.
Interesting. He's been the one horse we've seen a bit of money for as well, Lake Falta. But I'm going to go for Gulliver here. Probably ran a really good race in the Stewards' Cup. Again, kind of got blocked a bit in his run when he was making a bit of a run, but ended up finishing the race really well. I'm just kind of looking how this race is going to play out. So I thought there was no pace at all, though. The first front runner, or towards the pace that I could see, was Lake Falta in 13. Ice Age goes in the front in 14. Dakota Gold is very quick away and kind of goes really hard in 15. And Belated Breath from 16 goes really hard. But the pace that I all kind of saw was all fairly high. And Gulliver is in 18. So I just think he could get a lovely trip into the race. And then he just needs a bit of luck, really, you know, if they come across to that rail. But I just think he could go really well the way the race could play out here.
Okay, the next race we're going to look at is a bit of a novelty. It's the 245 at Newmarket on the July course. It's the Unibet Grey Horse Handicap, only for grey horses, as the name would suggest. Keith, I was quite interested in Chatham House here. Obviously, really impressive winner last time out, and he looks quite unexposed.
Yeah, it does. You know, the dropping back to six is just a very slight concern. But, you know, the fact that he's sort of 6-1 that I can see, and that's price of the field suggests that it is just a really, really open race. And the hardest betting race of the year for my mum, certainly, because she loves the back of grey when she does. but this one, the one that I actually noticed was came from the dark, down at about 12-1. Now, he didn't run very well last week at Haydock, but the stewards' reports suggest he did go a bit loopy about halfway into the race. And a look at the stewards' report suggests that Gabriel the Devil ran into the back of him, causing it to briefly lose his action. So on that basis, we can rule out that run. And his previous form, well, the best of it, was on really testing ground. Now, Newmarket on the forecast is going to be a little bit less testing than Newbury and Ripon, but it's probably going to be on the soft side of the ground. So came from the dark, who was really quite progressive on really testing ground in the summer there, or when earlier in the summer where we had a bit of soft ground going around. And I think the fact that you can forgive last week so readily has possibly been missed by a few people.
TC, Grey Horse Handicap.
Potentially the worst race of the day for betting purposes, I believe. Obviously, there's a lot of value about, but splitting these runners is just absolutely impossible. I could spend an hour and a half in this race and still wouldn't come up with one that I fancied.
It's not what we want to hear.
Well, after a few strong selections, I think I'll be... I mean, if I drunk tea, I would be putting the kettle on for this race, because it's very tough. I mean, Chatham House is probably the most likely winner, as you say. Unexposed, only had 11 starts. Did take a while to get off the mark, but that victory last time out has probably done his confidence the world of good. But this race, I mean, this race, I often look for Syrian Pearl. Chris Wall's horse always used to run in this race. And when he wasn't in the declarations, I was just like, okay, it's not for me. We'll skip this one.
So I'm skipping that one then. What do you think, James? Have you got a more sort of stronger fancy?
Yeah, I think Glen Coco, and they're fairly hard to split, but I just think Glen Coco never really runs a bad race. And he's coming into it off pretty good form behind Quatuble. I'd say that's a pretty strong handicap in Newmarket the last day. And then he's taking the £7 off of Marco Gianni, who I think is a pretty useful apprentice these days. Mark of 85 didn't get put up for only being beaten half a length in that last race. I think he's pretty solid. I wouldn't want too much rain. If a lot of rain came, I'd probably go off a bit, but I think that the, you know, he's an each way price 5-1. And we're also doing a money back of your horse's second, third, or fourth, even for the each way part of that of your bet. So I just think that's a bit of a no brainer to kind of go for one that you kind of think can get in the four and get your win place back. And Glen Coco is the one that I'd be going for there.
Yeah, good offer there. Might be taking advantage of that. Now, good racing elsewhere on Saturday. Doncaster, Ripon, Newbury as those two we've mentioned. Perth, Newmarket, Cork as listed race at Cork. Bath and Market Raisin. Any other fancies, TC?
Yeah, I've got three. First one is Australis in the 505 at Newmarket. He's a real improver for Roger Varian. He's only had 5 starts and he's well handicapped off a mark of 75. He's facing a lot of older horses, getting weight from all of them. First time blinkers are plus, and Varian won the race with an improving 4-year-old last year. So he looks one to pretty much bank on, I think, at Newmarket. One at Doncaster, Detachment, in the 435. He goes well at the track. He's back to his last winning mark. Now, Detachment has cost me money a few times. He doesn't often go through his races. He's another one that travels really well in behind the speed. But he's down in grade now into a 0-75 for the first time. And he's back in form with third place finishes on his last 2 efforts. So I think he can go close. And for stateside fans, Dunbar Road in the 10:59 at Saratoga, which is the Group 1 Alabama Stakes, the feature race in America. Chad Brown's had an incredible season, especially on the turf. Jose Ortiz is the top jockey at Saratoga at the moment. They team up. She's a really smart filly, and Dunbar Road will go well.
Okay, bit of everything then. Whatever you like, TC's got it covered. Keith, any other fancies on Saturday?
Well, I've got one of the jumps just to complete the set. slightly disappointed with the fields at Perth, obviously heavy ground at this time of year. They've actually had an inspection there, aren't they, to make sure it can go ahead. And it's a shame, really, because they put up this 30 grand Stone of Destiny handicap hurdle that's only got 4 runners in it. As a result, I'm not sure you'll get much of a price. But it's quite an open-looking race amongst them, although I'd fancy that Chef the Troop, the Newland horse, would probably win that race. I would have thought he's unexposed going this way round, which should suit him. loads of form on the testing ground in France. He'd be the one for me.
Okay, and finally, before we get the naps, James, any other fancies from you?
Just looking at Cork, there's the Group 3 in Cork, the Give Thanks Stakes, Tarnawa. Her last run was in the Oaks, where she was a bit disappointed, but I know she was kind of on a lot of people's radar that day. She should be fairly difficult to beat. It's a terrible race. Aiden has four in it, and nothing too special. There's only six runners, so I think Tarnawa will probably take all the beating on that.
Okay, opportunity for some good black type there. Then let us get the naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Keith, kick us off. Who's your best bet on Saturday?
I'm probably just going to take a bit of a flyer because, to be quite honest, there's nothing on Saturday that I think, oh yeah, I'm definitely having a big bet on that is going to win. So probably Love Dreams.
Okay, Love Dreams for you, TC?
Lahore in the Great St Wilfrid, the 3:15 at Ripon.
Nice and straightforward. And James, finally.
Yeah, similarly, the 3:15 at Ripon, Gulliver. I think the race has set up pretty well for him.
Okay, and we'll take another quick break now before we look to Sunday's action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday postcast then. We're going to look ahead to Sunday now, and there is listed action at Pontefract. No prices for this one, but the 3:30 is the EBF Stands Highland Farm Flying Filly Stakes. Some really interesting horses in here, TC. I think most people will probably be drawn to Last Empire is one, three of the four.
Yeah, really. Well, I mean, I was drawn to him as well, but I decided to go with the smart filly, Tapisserie, for William Haggis. Big scope, he thought. Well, much better next year as a four-year-old. Improving for each start. I think I've tipped her the last twice, and she's really impressed me both times as well. Should appreciate the fast pace they're probably going to go here. Grand shouldn't be a problem at all, and I think she's probably the best in the race.
Okay, interesting. Trainer in red-hot form as well. Keith?
That Last Empire and Tapisserie are going to be really, really popular. It's a race I really would like to see a market for, because it's a suggestion that one or both might be sort of lightly overbet, but Tapisserie is the one I like Tom. I like the way she's been going up in grades, and she's actually in the Hungerford Stakes at the 5-day stage. Has obviously been found this race instead, and they obviously fancy this as an alternative. I suspect, again, at Pontefract, the ground's going to be on the testing side, so an awful lot to like about her.
Yeah, William Haggis, he has a good record with the horse he sends up north as well, doesn't he? James, no market, as I said, but who can you see going off favourite, perhaps?
I'd say Shades of Blue will probably head the market. I'd imagine they're followed by the William Haggis filly. I imagine Shades of Blue, I quite like Shades of Blue in this. I just think she's never really run a bad race. She kind of will run to that mark of 105, and then it's kind of anything, if that Haggis filly can improve by her, then she'll probably beat her. But say anything that beats Shades. And that finishes ahead of Shades of Blue would probably win the race.
Yeah, nicely put. We'll move on to the Group 1 action now. Potentially won the race of the weekend. Probably the one I'm most excited for at 2:50 over in Deauville. It's the Darley Pre-Morny. Betting-wise, is Al Ali your favourite, or does that go to someone else, James?
No, that goes to someone else. It's very open at the cracking race. Earthlight is our 5-2 joint favourite with Arizona at 5-2. Ali is 3-1. Raffle Prize is 9-2, the only one we've really been seeing money so far for. Golden Horde, 11-2, and Devil, 16-1, and Aroa, 40-1.
Yeah, very, very interesting race this. Interesting you mentioned Earthlight, who's won 3 out of 3 so far, but the Brits have an excellent record, don't they? James?
Yeah, they do indeed. They've won a right few of them, and obviously Wesley Ward as well has come over and got it. I think this is one of the strongest pre-mornings in quite a long time. When you're looking at, you know, Aidan O'Brien, he hasn't sent over a good horse over to this in quite a while. It was going through some of the previous races and hardly recognising the winners. You have to go back to 2001 in Johannesburg when he really sent over a really good one. And a couple of years before that, I think he won it with Orphan as well. So I'm a little bit negative on Arizona just off the back of that he didn't run him in the Phoenix Stakes. Like, Aidan always runs his best run in the Phoenix Stakes. And then Monarch of Egypt, obviously, getting beaten that. Kind of suggest that maybe at home Monarch of Deed was a little bit better than Arizona. Now, while I'm going off on a bit of a theory on that one, that's just kind of how I'd stand on it. Earthside has looked very, very good so far, but I'd be going for Al Ali here. Just think he'll go on the ground. It's going to be very soft in Deauville as well. So just the fact that he's won on soft ground twice now, and just he has that bit of class about him, and he should travel really well into the race. And he's the one that I'll end up. I'll probably back, and I'd say as well, at 3-1.
Yeah, he's seems a very straightforward and professional horse, won the Norfolk and then the pre-Robert Papin, obviously. Just skipping back to Arizona TC, I just don't know what to think of this horse because his win in the Coventry was a bit muddling. He never really looked like he was going to win, but he did get the job done in the end.
Yeah, I think it's a good bit of form, as I said earlier. I think the Coventry is a pretty strong race. I mean, Gilsman's Threat was second and third. They're good horses. But exactly like James said, I've got a worry about Arizona that he didn't run in the Phoenix Stakes as well. It's literally the same theory. Aiden O'Brien always runs his best horse in that race, and Arizona was taken out. On that basis, I think potentially he's a horse for next year that they're going to target at the big races instead of this. I don't think this will be his main... I don't think he'll be 100% is what I'm saying for this. It's a cracking race, though, isn't it?
It's the best race
of the weekend. Earthlight was really impressive in three starts. I know that Lauren Barber ran. He thinks Earthlight's a cracking, really, really good young horse. But I'm going to take him on as well with Ayali. Or Ayali? Ali? How do you even say it? Why is there an apostrophe in it?
Yeah.
Ground's not a problem. Real improver. Won really well at Royal Ascot. Won at Deauville as well. So he handles the track. And the extra half a furlong won't be a problem. Clock watchers absolutely rave about him, don't they? They say that his stride's big and he's really quick. He posted a really good time first time out. So, yeah, he's the one for me.
Yeah, I don't think Trip will be a worry for him either. Keith, we've not mentioned the Richmond winner or the Philly Raffle Prize, Golden Horde I was referring to, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Golden Horde. In fact, they were the two, really, I'd be looking at. I think Ali is the right favourite for this race. You look at the morning, and it's won by speed horses. It's not... you know, future classic types that tend to win this race for whatever reason, and it might just be coincidence, but it's something I have in mind when I look at this race, and Ali is the sort of early two-year-old speedball that you're looking for the race, so I think he'd be a rightful favourite, but Golden Horde is another one that I would give a lot of time to, certainly at the prices that we're offering here. Absolutely no fluke about that. That win at Goodwood, you know, he's made most of the running, he's come right clear with the well-backed threat, and you look at his run also behind Arizona in the Coventry. He came right across the track there and shaped really well to finish fifth. This is probably a really forward horse. Obviously, Clive Copster as well with a similar type and possibly be understated by the market. And for similar sort of reasons to needing a speed type, that was why Raffle Prize would come into the reckoning too for me. But just at the relative prices, I thought Golden Horde was just that bit of a better bet.
Okay, very much looking forward to that one. As Tom mentioned, potentially the race of the weekend. There's also the Darley Prix Jean Romanet, another Group 1 for four-year-old plus filly de mares over 1 mile 2. Coronet, she got a Group 1 last time out in the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud. Finally, we've got Wild Illusion, last year's Nassau Stakes winner, and with you again. Good form in the Prix Rothschild last time.
Yeah, five of the last seven runners have gone to British trainers. The French form isn't that great, and the Brits have been dominating over there this season. And I think Coronet's probably the most likely winner. She's not a horse that I like backing. She's often the bridesmaid.
I think every time I've backed her, she's not won.
Yeah, yes. She often finishes place. It's frustrating. She always runs her race, but she finds one too good. I did back her last time, and she won, and I thought, that's the last time I'll back her. I'll go out on a high with Coronet, but... I think she's going to win this race. I mean, she won the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud last time quite impressively, only by a short neck, but she did it well in the end. Dropping Trip isn't a problem, back to 1 mile 2 from 1 mile 4. She's just got the best. She's got the best RPR in the race. She's probably the best horse. It's just whether she'll put it all together and actually manage to fend them off rather than just get chinned on the line.
Yeah, you'd think, as you said, moving down in Trip, she'd want a strong pace as well. So that would be good if you were looking to back Coronet. Keith, are you taking her on?
Probably not. You look at, there's two ways to play this race. I think you can potentially take the view that Coronet's the real Group 1 type in the race and possibly, and you wouldn't have to work very hard to convince me she's value at about 2-1. That's a bit boring though. So I thought about having a look at maybe taking a flyer, and there's a lot of holes in a lot of the runners in this race, which is part of the reason Coronet could easily be described as value. One that I'd sort of have a look at potentially a big price would be Red Tea. She's only joined Joseph O'Brien this year and has really improved very quickly for it. You'd do well to say that she's not still going forward, given the way she won at the Curragh last time. She was punching down, but she won really easily, and there's no reason to suggest she might not still be on the way up. She should suit 10 furlongs. And you can see her running into the first three in a race where very, very few are bomb-proof.
Yeah, really interesting filly that, who's progressed a lot since going over to Joseph O'Brien's, as you mentioned. Any prices on this Prix Jean Romanet, James?
Yeah, we do indeed. And Coronet is our 15-8 favourite. With You, 3-1. I Can Fly, 4-1. Wild Illusion, 5-1. Red Tea there, Keith, is 11-1. Muses Amika is 12-1, 14-1 bar.
And who do you sort of fancy? It's hard to oppose Coronet in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. It's a belter of a race. Like, Wild Illusion could bounce back. You know, I think she's always kind of needed a bit of a foot in the ground to show her best. But I'm going to take a bit of a flyer on one, Musa Samika. She's a filly that, she's a bit of an enigma. She's one of these fillies that really slow out of the gate, can take an age to get going, and then she'll fly at the finish. And this year, they've kind of tried to change tactic with her. They've really trained her to bounce out of the gate, and they've kind of rushed her up, and she just hasn't really run her runnings. But if she was to run her beaten by a neck by Larens last year, and the B Diane would give her a chance, and a 12-1, I'd probably give her a chance, and hopefully that they hold her up again and let her come late. But Mikhail Barcelona is on it for Fab, so she'd be the one that I give a go to again.
Thanks very much, James. Really interesting selection there in Musa Samika with some good form. As always, that's all we've got time for today. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe. I'll be back on Monday to review the weekend's action. We'll see you soon. Best of luck with your bets.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.